Matt and Andrew versus society.
It's podcast time.
Fucking tits. Let us talk about tight movies.
We've got to return some videotapes.
But if Rippin' Throats gets that warhead back, I'll suck as many dicks as a guy, rip as many throats as I have to.
Granny shifting, not double clutching like you should.
Glen Coco, fall for you, Glen Coco, you go, Glen Coco.
Y'all don't say that.
Movie time.
Hello.
Movie time.
Talking about movies.
Talking about
really important movies.
I'm sorry, but I'm just thinking of the right words to say.
I promise you.
I know I don't tell the way I find them to be.
Something else.
I'm Matt.
I'm Andrew.
Hey, this is Matt and Andrew versus Society. We have another very special episode for you guys today.
Mavs, bitch.
Like, it's becoming the norm. Once a month, Andrew and I are doing a movie. An all-movie podcast.
Exclusively movies.
And this is our December one. So you guys probably know the drill. This is not in place of our normal weekly podcast, but in addition to.
Oh, man.
And this week, we are discussing top five coming home movies. So these are movies that would... The main character is someone who has either been away from home for a very long time and coming back for whatever reason, maybe coming back from college or war. Also, it could be a character that's trying to get home.
Yeah.
And there's just many things in his way.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited. It's kind of Christmas themed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of people are coming home for Christmas and all that jazz.
There's no place like home for the holidays.
Exactly. Before we go into the top five movies, Andrew and I are going to talk about movies we assigned each other.
Yeah.
So I'll start it off.
Yeah. Why don't you start us off? I assigned you The Doc.
Yep.
I Am Ali.
I Am Ali, starring
Will Smith.
No.
As.
Did you ever see that movie, the Will Smith Ali?
Is it good?
I kind of want to go
back. Was it good when you saw it?
No, but I want to go back and rewatch it because the biggest problem with that movie is if you weren't very in the know, privy to all of Ali's life, you have no idea who people are. Because, for example, like Howard Cosell is in the movie, but they never like... You know what a lot of movies do? They tell you what city they're in by like some script on the bottom, or they tell you who this guy is. They don't do that in the movie. It was so confusing.
There's no like expose.
So not only did that Will Smith Ali movie, this is not the movie I'm reviewing.
Yeah.
Not only did that Will Smith movie jump around in periods in time, it wasn't like a straight linear side of his life to the end. It also,
strange
he's
biopic.
Meeting new people and he's talking like, for example, Joe Frazier.
Yeah.
And you don't know that. I didn't know it's this guy he's talking to is supposed to be Joe Frazier.
Yeah, I mean, especially because we're of a generation.
We're past all that was happening.
We're as far as legends. We're of the Jordan era.
So I saw the documentary and it was really good.
Yeah,
it's a really good documentary.
I'm glad you liked it.
If you're at all interested in Ali's life, I would recommend watching it. Even if you're not,
if you're not, so much because. About him. He's a very interesting guy outside of the ring.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I really enjoyed.
The movie, my one poke at the movie would be that it only shows kind of the lighter side of Ali.
Yeah.
I mean, they very gently brush over the fact that he was married several times and had a lot of kids with many different women.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it doesn't make you... No way makes you a bad guy, but I would kind of be interested to hear.
It's,
you only hear from like three of his kids.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's a couple kids who aren't as big of fans for him.
Yeah, it's. But I think that this is kind of. It's all about preserving his legacy, as opposed to, showing some of the darker moments, I guess.
But it's really he was a huge. I knew about the whole not going to Vietnam, changing his name.
That's,
But I didn't know how big of a figure he really was. And
that was a huge deal.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, dude, that was, in my opinion, he made the right move and a hard move to make.
Yeah.
He didn't get the box for 4 years in his prime.
And that's so just like
mid-20s
that.
From his mid-20s to his 30s, yeah. He wasn't allowed to box. And I would assume that's pretty much every boxer's
nightmare.
Prime.
Oh, well yeah. He would, not being allowed to box.
Better than ever. He
yeah.
did all his main fights in 30 after he was 30 years old.
Yeah.
Just makes it all the more impressive.
That's, he's, yeah.
I didn't know he lost as much as he did. You hear, like,
greatest
of
all
time,
yeah.
Ali.
You never
hear about the losses, but they go over. I was like, wow, he lost, like, these fights? I didn't know that. But
well, he hit, what
apparently
is it,
being a three-time.
Right?
Yeah, and he fought while he was probably already having.
I mean, yeah, you don't, like, get Parkinson's from not taking a bunch of hits.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's not... Not much else to say. He was definitely, most of his kids did say, like, what you saw on camera was pretty much him in real life. He, you know who he reminded me of a lot?
Who?
Kanye West.
Yeah. Because he's kind of just this larger-than-life guy who...
And he wanted the controversy.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know if Kanye West necessarily has a lighter side.
Hey, oh, definitely.
Maybe one day there will be a documentary on him.
I mean, the stuff that you see... Like him taking, him going to Jimmy Kimmel's wedding and taking like selfies with Jimmy Kimmel's parents.
Yeah. So it reminded me of, he was, you know, but Muhammad Ali was the first one to do any of that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The first big self promoter. Mm-hmm. They said he was the first boxer that you ever even really heard talk, because before that, it was always the boxer's manager that did all the talking.
Yeah. They had a kind of a hype man situation.
Yeah. I highly recommend it.
Good. I'm
not
glad.
Too much else to say about
that's,
it.
Yeah.
Going into spoilers, but it's not too long, maybe an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Streaming on Netflix.
I was thinking about that when I signed it to you. I was like, there's not a lot of talking points. But I mean, that's okay.
Yeah.
It gets a strong recommendation from me.
But I think, sure. Like, I saw it on Netflix, and you're just like, another Ali. How many Ali documentaries do you think there are out there?
Oh.
But I think this one kind
this
of pushed,
is like
it,
the,
has pushed its way to the top.
Well, it's like the authority, like the definitive
yeah.
story.
Yeah, you can put it that way.
Yeah.
So, cream always rises to the top. That's why this
came
one's
out
getting
this year,
talked
right?
about. I think so.
Yeah. I'll probably end up in my top 10. Of 2014.
Andrew, you were assigned a movie.
I was assigned a movie starring Brad Pitt.
Lucky.
As Jerry.
Lucky.
With a G.
Oh, yeah, that's weird.
Bothered me.
That does bother me.
Yeah.
Gary.
Yeah, Geary. I watched 2013's World War Z, which, doing a little research after the fact, apparently this movie was just a disaster. Like, they had to, like, reshoot the ending. It was insanely over budget.
Wow, I did not know
yeah,
any of that.
Apparently there was a lot of shit that went into finally getting this movie out.
That's surprising, because usually when that happens in movies, I mean, in my opinion, the end product was really good, and usually when that happens in movies, it destroys the product.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's one of the things that I thought was so interesting, because, you know, movies go over budget, get pushed back all the time, but this one didn't feel like that. This... I mean, I guess I'll just go over the first two-thirds of the movie, pretty much. What's great about it is you see Brad Pitt's character with his family, his two daughters and his wife. So you get, minimum setup. You know that he's with them. He's out of the game. Whatever the game was, you don't know yet.
Yeah, he was some kind of
government guy.
Employee.
Yeah. But he's out, and he's going on a trip, and I think within 5 minutes of the movie, it's going.
Yeah.
Like, this movie just, and that's what I liked about it, it was straightforward in what it was.
There's a big, if you've seen the trailer for this, there's a big scene in the trailer where he's, like, in a parking jam, like, there's an explosion, and he's stuck in a traffic jam.
It seems like a spoiler.
But that happens
not,
in the first 5 minutes.
It's the first. It's the second scene of the movie, and from there, it's a great. I think it's just when you break it down, great blockbuster. It's got great action.
Good way to put it.
It goes from scene to scene at a nice pace. There's always at least one memorable thing going on. You know. He kind of plays the action hero mm-hmm. who gets his way out that of was jams.
One thing I remember from this movie, and don't get me wrong, I'm a big fan of Brad Pitt. I like most of his movies. I don't think this movie needed Brad Pitt.
No.
It could have, because it kind of stood on its own, and it's an action movie. Like, yeah. You're not used to Brad Pitt being the action star.
Yeah, that's true. It's not Brad Pitt's best performance, but it doesn't. But what you're saying, it doesn't really require him. My favorite Brad Pitt, and I'd be shocked if it's not yours either. Snatch.
It's probably my favorite. That's his best role. Yeah. Of his, maybe my favorite movie that he's in too.
Yeah, it's probably my favorite movie that he's in too.
I'm a big Fight Club fan.
But him and I don't know when he's doing that Gypsy Brogue.
His role is better in Snatch. I'm saying as a movie, Fight Club more.
Okay, I got what you're saying. Yeah. If you're looking for something that's fun, there's some gore. It's not really, I wouldn't call it a horror movie at all. It's mostly just an action movie. And it accomplishes everything it sets out to do, in my opinion.
Yeah, the one thing I remember taking away from this was the pacing, and it's just pedal to the metal the whole time. He is going, you're not going to be left without action for more than maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah,
there's a couple scenes where he calls his wife real quick. Yeah, and that's it.
The first time his wife calls him while he's there's a scene where they are traveling by bike, which on first sight was actually pretty funny also. Yeah. there's some good how are they gonna get out of this moments, and they, find their way out of it. I don't know. I don't really want to give too much away because it is a fun movie to watch.
This part, because when this movie came out, there was a lot of people upset, and most of those people were the ones that had read the book. So it was based on a very famous zombie book
by Max Brooks.
Yeah, and I never read it, but I know you did.
Yeah,
and people were kind of avoiding because they're saying there's no way they could remake that book. So maybe you could talk about
that. I
would
tell you what. They could make that book into a couple different movies. They could have honestly, I don't know if they will. I don't know how. I think the movie was pretty generally well received. It made money.
It was like you said, it's a very good blockbuster.
Yeah. Yeah. But they could definitely make World War Z into like a franchise. In the way that, they could just tell different stories and have them all loop into one another. Because the book kind of is like a bunch of different first-person accounts of an outbreak. It's set up to be like newspaper clippings and stories.
It's all over the world.
It's all over the... Yeah, which is one of the things that's cool about the movie, too, is he is in, I think, starts in Philadelphia.
Goes to Korea,
goes to Israel. I mean, you just...
And then he's in, maybe Germany.
Yeah, I think somewhere in Europe.
Yeah.
It's kind of just spanning the globe, trying to figure out how you're going to combat this outbreak. Zeke's.
And I'm sure this was happening in the book, but I did like the kind of aha moment of how they're going to stop this whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was very clever. Mm-hmm. Something I had not seen in a lot of zombie... Actually, most zombie movies, they're never a cure.
Well, a lot of times...
Spoiler.
The thing that I like about zombie movies, I would say that it's definitely one of my favorite horror subgenres. The thing that I like about it is you have these monsters and you have this gore, but a lot of times they're just the vessel for moving the story along. And a lot of times it's just more about how people react and survive and stuff like that.
It's a different point of view on zombie movies.
Yeah. That's why I say this is more of an action movie. It's not a horror movie.
Because most of the time, you get in a zombie movie, you're introduced to a world where there's no hope, or it's a guy that, like for example, in I Am Legend, it's just a guy that's he's all on his own. He's trying to survive.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he's kind of trying to cure it, but not really the main thing. And then you have a movie like Zombieland where there's no hope and they're just trying
They're just trying to survive, trying to not die.
Place to place and meeting people, kind of like the Walking Dead series.
Yeah.
And then this movie was different because it's really a guy that's trying to get shit done.
Yeah, he's on a mission, and he is... He's tough to sway from that mission.
Yeah.
There's one thing that was just... It stuck out to me right away, but when they're on a carrier, a naval carrier, and it just was so like paint by numbers, where the head of I don't know what it was. We'll say CIA. It wasn't the CIA, but the guy, he's like, "We need you back, Jerry," and Brad Pitt's like, "I'm out of the game." He's like, "Well, then your family's out of here. I'm back."
That's pretty tough.
But it just, it felt really paint by numbers.
Also, another big scene I remember that was pretty sweet. There's an airplane scene.
The commercial airliner?
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a cool scene where all I'll say is they're on an airplane, commercial airplane, and, you know, at 15,000 feet, someone turns into a zombie.
Mm.
And you can imagine how shit could get fucked up. You're in a very tight, locked area.
Yeah. It was pretty awesome. It was a good movie. It's a fun movie. If you are interested in the book, don't expect it to be like the movie.
Yeah.
It takes elements of the... Because the book would be impossible to film, almost. Like, if you were to try and create a faithful adaptation... So what they did was pretty much take elements of the book and weave a nice, tight, two-hour movie.
I haven't read the book, but from what I've heard about the book, I would assume they need to do something of like a fake documentary.
That would be kind of cool. But yes, that would be what they'd have to do. So do you want to guess what Netflix predicted I'd rank it at?
World War Z... 5?
No. 2.
Really?
Yeah.
All my Netflix ratings are bloated.
No. I'm calling bullshit on that because it has me...
I'll fucking let you look at my computer right now.
I'm telling you, it has me having 2 stars for World War Z.
Well, you must just hate... Because that's because you hate everything.
I don't hate anything.
So what did you rate it?
I gave it a 4.
Okay. I gave I Am Ali a 4.
Yeah.
I'm going on Netflix right now. I'm going to go through popular on Netflix, and I'll ask you to guess. None of these look very good. All right, Anchorman 2. What do you think it guessed for me?
5.
Well,
I don't know.
Over 4.5.
Yeah. Nice.
But you just said that...
I'm a good guesser.
I told you, it's bloated.
But you're... Have you seen Anchorman 2?
No.
You'd love it. You'd 5-star that shit.
Bullshit.
I haven't even seen it.
I heard it's horrible.
Of course. All
right, Jack Reacher.
Jack Reacher, the Tom Cruise movie. 4.
Okay, 3.1. They're bloated. Just shut up.
No. Dude, I'm telling you.
Maybe they got rid of it, because at one point I came on here and every single one was 5. I swear to you.
You just listen to Anderson.
That's true. He was right.
I'm telling you.
All right.
Jack Reacher is a 5-star.
The Village by M. Night.
Didn't you? No, you like Signs, right?
Yeah.
4.5.
Over. Okay, 4.5. That movie is supposed to be terrible. I haven't seen it, but I already know the ending, so it's kind of pointless.
Yeah. But there's an algorithm. All right.
Algorithm?
For how you rate things?
Oh, I thought you meant in the end of
The
Village. It's an algorithm.
The Village? No. All right. We're done with this game.
All right.
This game is stupid.
You're stupid.
Are you kidding me? I'm, like, knocking it out of the park with
that's
guesses.
Because I already told you that they're bloated, so you're guessing high numbers. You're cheating the system.
No. This is ridiculous.
We're not even at 20 minutes yet. Do you want to go into...
Want to do our 5 and 4 and then
before
take a little
break?
Yeah.
All right. We'll do 5 and 4. All right. So... Those are the movies, again, they were both I Am Ali and World War Z. They're both streaming on Netflix. So it sounds like Andy and I both recommend them.
Here's the other really strange thing. I just started seeing this. I've seen a handful of movies. They have the unrated and the regular version.
I think I saw the unrated.
Yeah, I saw the unrated one. And they actually, I was looking, the ratings, the predicted ratings were different. Mm-hmm. One of the PG-13, they predicted like a 1.5 star for me, and the unrated they predicted 2.
What movies have you rated that low that do you think would make it go?
I don't know, because I know you say I hate everything, but I watch a lot of shit and I don't hate it. Sightseers is one that I remember giving a 1 star.
Okay. That's not like World War Z, though.
No, it's not. Out of the Furnace, I gave really low, 1 or 2. Yeah, me too. That movie sucked.
All right. So you're number 5. We'll start with you.
Number 5. Do you want to remind everyone what our... Call.
So here we're going to our top 5 list. We're going to do each of our 4s and 5s. We're going to take a break. Thanks. This is top 5 coming home movies. And I didn't set it up so it goes with him saying it. But... Top 5 coming home movies in the Christmas spirit. We're talking about movies that the main characters are either coming home for the first time in a long time, or they're trying very hard to get home.
Hi, my name is Carl. I'm on my way home, first time, long time.
Good one.
Thanks. So, get right into it. Oh, to clarify, we were getting lunch before this, and I misheard you. It's not... necessarily Christmas movies. It's just in the Christmas spirit of like going home and seeing family.
Coming home, it could be. Yeah, it's not Christmas.
Yes,
it could be, but
I
don't have any.
Not exclusively. All right, so let's get into it. Our number 5 is actually the same. Tommy Boy.
Spoiler. I thought we were going to make it seem like we didn't talk about this before.
Well, we truthfully this. Is the only one we've talked about.
Because, yeah, it was just an accident.
It came up on, yeah.
So both of our number 5s is Tommy Boy.
It was an accident while we were trying to explain it to So, who didn't get it anyways.
Well, go ahead and talk about it, and I'll jump in.
All right, Tommy Boy. Modern classic.
What was the first one we tried to explain our list to So? We're like, it's coming home movies. He's like what? And I said...
A movie he hadn't seen.
Oh,
I don't remember.
Oh, so, yeah.
But, yeah.
It's coming up later on my list, so I don't want to say
okay.
It.
So Tommy Boy is starring Chris Farley and David Spade.
Correct. I have that written down, too.
Yes.
You have directed by...
It was...
Peter Siegel.
Yep. And, nice.
We're on the same page here.
Written by Bonnie and Terry Turner. Not to be confused with Ike and Tina. Some other great writers.
Great Turner combos.
Yeah. Anyways, it is a great comedy, in my opinion. Tommy is kind of played by Chris Farley. He's kind of the screw up.
People should know this movie if you haven't seen it.
Yes, and if Chris Farley's in a movie you haven't seen, you should probably be able to guess what kind of character he plays. He plays the goofy, like, drunk stoner guy with a heart of gold.
Yeah.
But the basic plot, his dad's a big, successful auto parts guy. And Tommy has just been away at college for a very long time. Shade under a decade.
You know, a lot of people go to college for 7 years.
Yeah, they're called doctors.
Yeah, preacher.
And, yeah, so Tommy's not an achiever. And he comes home back to, is it in Ohio?
Yeah, Sandusky, Ohio.
Sandusky, Ohio, yeah. Callahan Auto Parts.
Mm-hmm. They make brake pads, specializing brake pads.
Yeah, specializing in brake pads. And so Tommy's coming home for the first time. And, you know, everyone likes Tommy, but they know that he's not cut out to be a success.
A certain situation arises, and he
has to save the factory in his hometown.
Yes, yeah, save the family factory by going on a road trip with David Spade, and you can imagine.
Oh my God.
Hilarity ensues.
Yeah.
I have a couple things written down.
He seems like a nice guy. What is his name?
Zielinski?
Zielinski, yeah. Is it Dave Zielinski?
Played by Dan Aykroyd.
I think
it's Dan.
Played by Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, Dan Zielinski. Zielinski Auto Parts.
Zielinski Auto Parts.
Making auto parts for the average man, because that's who I am. That's who I work for. Something like that.
I make parts for the American working man, because that's who I am, and that's who I care about.
Yeah, there you go. So in the beginning, Chris Farley attends. He goes to Marquette. Did you know that?
Yeah, he's a rugby freak.
And he
Marquette rugby is big
time. In real life, that was his college. He went to Marquette. So I didn't know that. That was interesting. And the famous scene, you know, he writes Herbie Hancock.
Yeah.
And who signed first guy to sign the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah.
After the test, he's looking to see his grade.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, you can see the name Helen Keller on that list, and she got an F.
That's really funny.
Yeah, that was in the trivia section.
And mean.
also, an interesting fact, Rob Lowe, who's in the movie, was
the timeless Rob Lowe.
He was uncredited.
Really?
In the movie, yeah. Due to contractual issues, he was contracted to do some Stephen King movie at the time, and he did the... I don't know how it works, but apparently he did this movie as a favor to Chris Farley, but he just wasn't allowed, because of the contract thing, to be credited in it.
Yeah.
Weird, because he's a big character.
Yeah, he's one of the main... whatever they are, antagonists.
So, Voldemort number 5 is 1995's Tommy Boy. I think it's on Netflix, if you haven't seen it.
I believe it's on Netflix, and I believe it's worth checking out.
So, you're number 4.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
I don't know if you'll be happy with me. Might be a little annoyed with me.
Is there any chance it's on my list?
I don't think so. I don't think you like this movie very much. Batman Begins.
Oh, the Christian Bale Batman Begins.
Yeah, there's no other Batman Begins.
I know,
Begins.
But I'm thinking, because I know you and you're such a fan of the Tim Burton.
Yeah, I love the original Tim Burton one. But Batman Begins, the origin story.
I thought of this. I didn't think about putting it on my list, but I realized that it fits the criteria.
It fits the criteria. And after trying unsuccessfully to think of a lot of movies about homecomings, this is one that stuck out.
Cool.
That's
high praise.
Well,
this movie.
Yeah.
This movie.
It's a good movie.
I would say this movie would be a lot better if the other two didn't follow it.
Yeah.
Because The Dark Knight was unbelievably better, and I think The Dark Knight Rises, a lot of people don't like it, but I like that.
I don't know how people don't like Dark Knight Rises.
I don't get it. It's not as good.
It's ridiculous, but it's a great action movie.
But go ahead. Is there anything on it?
It is the Batman origin story, one that really hasn't been put on film before. How he's away.
Which is ridiculous. The origin story, by the way. Secret ninja clan in China.
Someone who. Billionaire playboy disappears with infinite resources. Yeah. What did you expect to be normal about it? The most ridiculous thing, and it still to this day bothers me, is Liam Neeson has no business
exactly. being... Why is Liam Neeson, the Irish white guy, his main fucking...
You know what? It makes sense. Because he has a particular set of skills.
As part of a Chinese ninja gang... That takes over cities
and also
history.
The character Ra's al Ghul is traditionally Middle Eastern.
Well, that's pretty bad then.
And that bothered me too, because not only is it not a League of, they call it the League of Shadows, but in like other incarnations, I believe it's the League of Assassins, and it's not always like
Assassins
Chinese
is
ninjas.
Too racy, I guess. Because all those movies are PG-13, which is impressive on Chris Nolan's part.
Yeah, it doesn't.
Because you don't.
They don't feel PG-13.
Yeah, and a lot
except for the scene in The Dark Knight Rises when they're outside of the courthouse and there's a bunch of dead people and there's zero blood or bullet holes. Mm. I don't know if you ever noticed that. It bothered me a little bit. But, you know, mission accomplished. So. As you can imagine, when Bruce Wayne comes home, he's going to go knocking on some doors.
Gotham deserves justice or something.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, he really loves Gotham.
And he really loves justice.
That's true. So, okay. My All number right, four?
Done.
All right, here's my number four. I'm pretty sure you've seen this. It's from 2011, movie Warrior.
No.
You haven't seen
Tom
Warrior
Hardy?
Yet? Oh,
no.
Oh, my God.
One of the only movies you've seen more than once voluntarily.
Oh, I saw it like 3 times voluntarily.
I know.
Okay, this movie, I'll say it right off the bat, it's kind of paint by numbers. You kind of can call everything that's going to happen. It's obvious. But I love
as long
this
as
movie.
You do it well.
Yeah, it's dramatic, and there's parts where I cried, and there's parts where I laughed. I don't know if I laughed, but
oh, Matt,
you
cried at a
the
movie.
Guy coming
shocker.
Home, Tom Hardy is back. He like pretty much winds up on his dad's doorstep in the beginning of the movie. He's been gone for a long time. He lived with his mom on the West Coast, I think, and then he was also in the Marines.
Is he also in the League of Shadows?
Now he's mysteriously
hush.
Silence, ho. Now he's mysterious.
Kenny Powers.
Now he's mysteriously back on his dad's doorstep, and they have a very not a good relationship. Mm-hmm. It's complicated. He also has a brother who's now a teacher living. It all takes place in like Philadelphia. His brother's kind of got the good life. He's got a house. He's teaching, but he also is fighting MMA on the side because they are both really talented wrestlers, and now they're in the MMA, and the brother's doing that for cash. Tom Hardy comes back and starts training again. I really recommend this movie.
I should say
Tom
one
Hardy,
of the things.
The fight scenes, I'm not an MMA guy. I don't watch MMA. I think it's kind
of
stupid.
I was just going to say that's one of the things that initially, I have no prejudice against watching this movie because you hold it in such high regard, and I have seen a little bit of it.
And
I came home one day and you were watching it, so
the
I
fight
left.
Scenes are really fucking good.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you,
but
some
the
facts I
MMA
up,
aspect is what turned me off to this movie initially because I don't like MMA.
Some trivia I found online made me understand why it was the fight scenes were so good. But Tom Hardy's awesome in this movie. He's really good.
Tom Hardy.
And anyway,
is
the
so
two brothers
talented.
End up training. They end up getting in this giant MMA competition where the winner gets a ton of money. And oh, do they end up fighting each other? Who knows? But definitely check it out.
Nice
some cool facts. It was directed by Gavin O'Connor. It stars Tom Hardy, Nick Nolte, and Joel Edgerton. It was kind of the first time I'd seen him, but now he's popped
Joel
up
Edgerton.
In a lot of stuff
yeah.
since. He was in Avatar, too.
Yeah.
He was the main guy. Some facts about this movie. Very personal fact. When this movie came out, my music 101 teacher at UIC,
mm-hmm.
his daughter plays Joel Edgerton's wife in the movie. A fairly
nice.
Significant role. Like, she's probably fifth billed.
That's cool.
And I remember him telling us in class, he's like, oh, you guys should see Warrior. It was really good. My daughter is in it. And she's been on television and stuff, famous actress. It was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Morrison. His daughter's name, Jennifer Morrison's the actress.
Jay Moore.
Also, during filming, Joel Edgerton tore an MCL. Tom Hardy broke a toe, some ribs, and his finger.
Oh.
All while filming fight scenes for this movie.
Oh.
So that might explain why the fight scenes seem so real.
Because they're hurting themselves.
And also, the writers of the movie were mm-hmm. neighbors with Nick Nolte. And they wrote his part. Nick Nolte plays their father.
Mm-hmm.
And they wrote his part specifically for him. So I thought that was really
That's
cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Is he supposed to be a crazy guy? He seems like kind of...
Nick Nolte.
Yeah. He seems kind of like a crazy guy.
I think the way he talks makes him sound crazy.
Yeah.
And people might confuse him for Gary Busey.
Oh, there's no confusing anyone for Gary Busey.
But I don't think so. I think he's probably not your typical Hollywood star.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's a bad guy. I think he's...
Okay.
Yeah,
before we go to break, can we just kind of weigh in on this since we're talking movies? Is Gary Busey actually crazy, or is he having the time of his life playing some like crazy guy?
I think he's actually crazy, but like, I don't think he's not so crazy where he doesn't understand that he's getting parts
that
to
he's
be
playing,
crazy.
Like he's playing himself
but yes,
for
I
laughs.
I think he is crazy, but I think he understands that he's getting parts because of that.
Okay, because that. I never really thought about it. There's one, like,
because
when he was in Entourage, he was really weird in that. And then that new Amazon Fire TV commercial, that is some of the strangest shit.
Well, I don't think he disappeared for a long time from the whole limelight. And
was he off
I'm
lucid
guessing
dreaming?
That was because of craziness.
Okay.
And now he's back, still crazy, but I guess holding it together just enough. Let's take a break.
All right.
And when we're back, we'll do our top three.
Boom.
Bye.
Support for Matt and Andrew vs. Society is brought to you by MailChimp.
MailChimp?
MailChimp.
Mein Kampf?
Mein Kampf. Send better emails.
Mail Kimp?
Chimp.
Mail Chimp. Mail Chimp. Today we're doing a podcast about movies. Are any of these movies any good?
Is the plot of any of these movies convoluted?
Sometimes when you watch a movie, it really makes you sit back and reevaluate every movie you've ever seen in your entire life. Did that happen to me today?
I was watching a movie, and during the scene in the parking lot, something struck me. Was there a payphone there?
Has there ever been a payphone there?
We go into 20-plus years of archived blueprints to figure out if this payphone, that may or may not have any purpose, is actually there.
Back to the show.
All right. We're back.
Oh, yeah. Good stretch of the legs there at the halfway mark.
That was nice.
Gotta love it.
And it's time for our top three.
All right.
Andrew? All
right. You're not going to like my number three. It's John Carpenter's Halloween. The night he came home.
When I passed this on my research, it definitely fits the criteria.
Yep.
And it's also a stupid pick.
Nope.
So go ahead.
Fantastic movie.
It fits the criteria very well.
I know it fits the criteria. I mean, the tagline is "The night he came home." Just based on that, it's perfect. One of the greatest slasher films of all time.
The night you find out they have driving school in insane asylums. Do you remember that?
In which one? In the original?
The first one. He gets into the car.
He gets into the car.
Speeds off and he's making perfect turns and everyone knows how to drive.
Everyone knows how to drive.
He's been there since he was like five.
Everyone knows how to drive.
If anyone doesn't know how to drive, it'd be those people.
Whoa. Those people?
Yeah, people who were the criminally insane for their entire lives.
The criminally insane for their entire lives.
Well, I mean, like, locked up for their whole life.
No, I know.
Go ahead, talk about it. Talk about this movie that everyone's seen.
Not everyone's seen it. There's, like, three people, probably. Jim? Has Jim seen it? yeah, it's one of the OG slasher movies. It's a classic, fantastic soundtrack. John Carpenter knocks it out of the park. Donald Pleasance, that girl from a bunch of other movies. Can't remember her name right now. Catherine Zeta-Jones is not in Halloween.
Yeah, God.
Tyra Banks.
No.
She's in like Halloween.
Emily Watson.
Emily Watson. Emily Mortimer.
God damn it, what's her fucking name?
I keep wanting to say Joan Cusack, even though I know it's not Joan Cusack. She's the original Scream Queen.
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah.
See, almost like Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah,
Catherine
three names.
Catherine Zeta-Jones, she dips beneath the lasers.
I don't want to spend any more time talking about it.
Me either.
It's a great movie, and Matt hates me.
I don't hate that movie. That movie's fine.
Oh, okay. You know what? All right, so here's something I was thinking about.
Okay.
You're not going to say anything nice, so I'm just going to interrupt you. A lot of these movies, not all of them age very well, and all the sequels end up reflecting poorly on the originator.
Okay.
Like movies like Friday the 13th, Halloween, even more recently like Saw. The first Saw was a good independent horror movie, but a lot of people are fucking stupid. They're so dumb. What is there, 20 of them now? Like, what does that have to do with the original?
Here's what else. Halloween is good to watch around Halloween time.
I agree.
Once every 3 years. Not every year. That's too much.
Okay.
Where my opinion lies on that movie.
And then, like, the other one, do you watch Nightmare on Elm Street? And then the other one, you watch Friday the 13th?
No.
Or you're more of a sleepaway camp guy.
No.
You and Anderson love sleepaway camp.
I hate sleepaway camp. I could not believe you fucking liked it.
It's a good movie.
It's the stupidest goddamn ending I've ever seen.
No. Wieners. All right, what's your number three?
All right, my number three, they're not going to be surprised. I talked about it. It's kind of, when I brought up this list, it was the first one I thought of. It fits the criteria perfectly.
I don't know. Anderson
absolutely hates this movie. And when we say Anderson, we're talking about the Film Vault, which is a very popular film
of the After Disaster
podcast. Also the After Disaster. Anyway, Anderson hates it, which made me so enraged to hear him talk shit about this movie. It's 2005, Just Friends.
Oh, yeah, that he really has some deep burning ember of hatred.
He had decided
for that
movie. He hated it before he saw it.
I don't know if he likes their co-host, Brian.
I don't know
if he likes him or not.
This is one, usually I don't agree with Brian, but this is one I'm really...
That's a funny movie.
I love Just Friends.
Forgiveness.
Yeah. So Just Friends, 2005.
Great
starring
movie.
Starring Ryan Reynolds, Anna Faris, and Amy Smart. Amy Smart, where'd you go?
Yeah. You know what?
You're a great girl.
It's a great...
Butterfly effect.
TV comedy.
It is.
You know what I mean? Like, when it's on TV...
Because you don't miss much.
Yeah.
There's not much edited out.
Tune in at any time. You know what's going on.
I love this movie. It's so funny. So the story is Ryan Reynolds was a fat loser in high school, had a huge crush on... He was best friends with the hot cheerleader girl, but he also secretly had a huge crush on her.
Like all guys who are best friends with girls in high school.
He was at a graduation of senior year party. People found some letter he wrote to her. They make fun of him. He rides his bike off saying, like, this town's full of losers, and I'm getting out of here to win or something.
Yeah, that sounds pretty really funny.
It's a line from a Bruce Springsteen song, I found out.
Really?
Yeah. Something like that. But he goes away. He goes to college. He moves out west from New Jersey to California, stays there for a long time, loses all the weight, gets successful, ends up having to take an emergency plane stop during Christmas time.
Oh, it's New Jersey?
Mm-hmm.
That makes the Bruce Springsteen thing that much funnier.
That's true. I didn't think of that.
Because he was probably listening to it, like his character just listens to Bruce Springsteen all the time.
No, I really want to find the exact
boss.
Line.
I write songs for the common man.
So he's back against his will because his plane had to make an emergency stop in New Jersey with Anna Faris' character, who is his
psycho pop star.
A girl that he once dated who's a psychotic... Yeah, pop star, and she's hilarious in it. The mom is played by someone who's always a mom.
Yeah, she was.
Chris Klein is in it.
She was the mom in What About Bob?
Maybe one of the best movies I've ever seen Chris Klein in, besides Election
and American Pie.
Well, I mean, his role wise.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, he plays such a an eco-friendly douchebag.
Here's what he says. He rides his bike off, yelling at the party, "It's a town full of losers, and I'm pulling out of here to win." And it's from Bruce Springsteen's Thunder Road.
Awesome. That is funny.
So
I did not know that.
He just gets, right when he's there, he immediately kind of falls for the same girl who hadn't left the town yet. His rival, as far as the other guy who is also a loser in high school, grew up to be hot.
Yeah.
Is Chris Klein's character.
Yeah, a lot of late bloomers in this movie.
He's so funny. He plays the paramedic, and there's some great scenes. Some fat stuff I wrote down about the movie. The movie was actually shot in Regina, Saskatchewan. And apparently,
Saskatchewan.
It makes sense because the whole movie is all snowy and it looks cold, and apparently it really was very cold to film this. And Anna Faris's character, she reportedly drank a ton of Red Bull all the time to stay amped up for her character.
Funny. That's a wow. That's pretty good.
But Just Friends. I mean, if it's on TV, check it out. I think
it's a funny movie.
The criteria as good as any movie possibly can for this. He's home. He's against his will, and he kind of it's funny. His brother is also very funny.
The younger brother.
Yeah, the younger brother who has a crush on Anna Faris. And
yeah.
So, that's my number three.
Nice. So, I don't know how you feel about my number two, because it's starring Steve Martin. It's not
on my list.
It's not what you think it is.
What do I think it is?
I don't want to say, in case it's on your list.
Well, okay, it's not on my list.
Oh.
I think it's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
I just felt like that's in my honorable mentions because I feel like it's just a very obvious choice.
Yeah.
So this one, Steve Martin, 1991 comedy, Father of the Bride.
Okay.
His daughter comes home.
Once, for a long time ago.
Yeah. his daughter's been gone for a long time. And she comes home and he's all excited. Like he just imagines everything's going to be just like it was when she left, where like, mm-hmm. you know, he's her role model and her hero. But she's got a new man in her life.
It's a black guy.
Nope. It's Brian. I think his name's Brian. No, she comes home to let them know that she is engaged.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to deal with giving away his first daughter.
Oh.
So sad. Mm. I like Steve Martin. I know you're not
this doesn't really fit the criteria.
Yes, she comes home and...
Not the main character. Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
Warrior doesn't count. I just immediately start taking cheap shots.
Fuck. Yes, it does.
Yeah. So the daughter comes home, throws the old man for a loop. Good comedy, a lot of good Martin shorts. Really
surprising
funny in it.
Pick. I'm just so I think I've seen it, but I'm so unfamiliar with the movie.
Growing up, I think it's like one of the five movies that my mom likes. The other being like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Pretty Woman, My Best Friend's Wedding, and probably something else with Julia Roberts. So I've seen it growing up. I've seen it multiple times, and it just is. I think it's a good comedy, and I like Steve Martin, and I know that you're not a big fan of his, but
I don't have anything against Steve Martin.
Right?
I've never seen a movie of his that I was really like, wow.
I understand.
That's awesome.
I mean,
it's a generational thing.
It. Between might you be, and I. Yeah, because I, you know, when you're older, 13 months older.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Cute.
It is cute.
All right. You ready for my number two?
Yes,
I don't think, I don't know if you've seen this. It's another one Anderson loves, but I also like it very, very much. And it also fits the criteria very well.
Sleepaway Camp.
1998's Buffalo 66.
You like that movie a lot?
You don't like it?
It's fine.
So you have seen it?
Yeah.
This movie's awesome. I thought it'd be right up your alley if you hadn't seen it.
I don't like Vincent Gallo.
Wow,
he annoys the shit out of me.
Like him that much either, but it's so strange for the sake of strange and quirky.
It is quirky. You'd like it. I shouldn't say I don't like it. I saw it before I started listening to the Film Vault and having Anderson like
you just like Anderson.
Love it. No, I like Anderson. I just don't. I just think that he blows this movie out of proportion. But go ahead. Let's talk about Buffalo 66.
Yeah, so it's 1998, directed by Vincent Gallo, starring Vincent Gallo, Christina Ricci, Ben Gazzara, and Angelica Houston. The last two play his parents. The story is, it's just a strange story. It all takes place in Buffalo, New York, which Vincent Gallo is from. This is obviously a passion project of his because he wrote, directed, stars in it. And it takes place in his hometown. The house that he goes to visit his parents at is actually his home, his childhood home, too.
That's pretty funny.
In the beginning of the movie, he just gets out of jail, and he decides the very first thing he needs to do, because his parents didn't know he was in jail. They think he was, like, out west and having a very successful life,
because mm-hmm.
that's what he told them. He gets out of jail, and the first thing he says he needs to do is kidnap someone and take her to his parents' house and tell his parents that he's engaged to this person.
Yeah.
Then the second thing he needs to do is murder the ex Buffalo Bills kicker who missed the game-winning kick in the Super Bowl that ended up getting him in jail.
Yeah.
So he placed a bet on the game to win like $5,000, and he couldn't play the bookie. And then
another guy who I'm not sure is crazy or not, Mickey Rourke.
Oh yeah. I forgot that's his bookie. So to pay off his bookie, he takes the fall when his bookie gets busted.
Mm-hmm.
So he serves like 3 years in jail or something. It's such a strange movie.
You know what?
Strange story.
I should rewatch it. Yeah.
So Christina Ricci's a girl. He has to like in the very beginning, he has to pee really bad and no place to let him pee. So he runs into like a ballet studio and she's in there. And he just right on the spot, he just grabs her and takes her. And she doesn't really put up much of a fight.
No, she doesn't.
She almost falls from immediately. the funny thing is, she falls for him before he falls for her.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, don't touch me. This is all for a game. This is a joke. Not a joke, but it's
fake. I'm trying to fool my parents.
Yeah. and his parents hate him because they never forgave him. His mom is a diehard Buffalo Bills fan, and the only championship the Bills ever won, I think, she was in the delivering him, and so she couldn't see it.
Oh, so she, yeah.
Yeah, she went in the labor, and she couldn't see it, so she never forgave him for that. It's so weird.
I wonder if Patrick Kane likes this movie.
Maybe. Some interesting facts. I already said it was filmed at his actual house. The kicker, Scott Norwood is who the real kicker was in the movie. He's Scott Woods, and he actually, in like 1992, missed the game-winning field goal for the Bills.
Oh, that's the actual guy?
Scott Woods is his name in the movie. And right.
But is it played by...
It's not played by the
actor. Oh, okay.
But it's based on Scott Norwood, who is the real kicker.
Yeah.
And there's a really strange tap dancing scene with Christina Ricci that she... in the bowling alley.
Mm-hmm.
She choreographed it herself, apparently. Did it herself. I don't know. It's not that interesting, but...
Christina Ricci's kind
of
weird.
I'm a big fan of her. She's also super hot.
She's got hot some heavy hangers.
Yeah, she does, dude. She grew up since Casper.
Yeah.
She's really
Casper.
She is one of my like
celebs.
Yes, big celeb crushes, top three.
Really?
Yeah. She. Oh, I think she's so hot.
That's why you like this movie.
Weird ones.
Yeah, I like it a lot. It's a good movie. Christina Ricci.
That's my number two. Buffalo 66. It's also streaming on Netflix.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
I've not come across it on there, but I've seen it already. All right, my number one, and I'm telling you right now, I promise I'm not going to use this movie on any more lists.
Oh, God.
It's Our Idiot Brother.
Okay, have you used this already?
I've used it at least once, and it comes to mind all that... It's... Maybe I'm the only person that loves this movie the way I love it, but... I just think it's a great movie. It's a great comedy. It's got a lot of heart. But yeah, Our Idiot Brother stars Paul Rudd, who goes to jail for selling weed to a cop in the opening scene.
The guy dressed as a cop.
Yeah, he knows he's a cop. And the cop's like, you know, it's really been a long week. And so Paul Rudd gives him pot, and he insists on paying for it.
Yeah.
Because I guess, I mean... At least for the sake of fiction, the police officer has to, it has to be a direct transaction or a monetary transaction. But so he immediately gets arrested, and Paul Rudd is just, his character is just the definition of, I guess, heart of gold.
Yeah.
Like, he just is like the nicest, easygoing.
His biggest flaws he has.
His biggest flaw is he trusts everyone. Others, yeah. Yeah. He, and he has three older sisters. All their lives are fucked up in different ways. And when he comes back on the scene, he kind of, he exposes the flaws and ends up being blamed for them. When really all these girls just kind of like, they don't suck, but like, well, one of them, what's her name? Elizabeth Banks. Her character's kind of shitty. Yeah. But, you know, they all place their shortcomings on him. And it's just, it's funny. And honestly, there's that scene, I don't know how well you remember this movie, but the scene where they're playing charades and Paul Rudd finally loses it.
Kind of.
It just like grounds the whole thing for me and just like makes it, it like takes it to that level.
Oh, because they didn't want to play, right?
Because they didn't want to play, and he just wants his nephew to have fun.
Yeah.
And he, like, only time in the movie snaps, and, you know, I don't know, it just shows that he's not just some...
He understands what they're... Like, they all think he's just so stupid.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand what's happening around him. But
he's
he
not
really
a stupid
does.
Guy. He just is a very positive guy.
Yeah, he chooses to try and ignore negativity.
Yeah. He ends up befriending T.J. Miller, who is his ex-girlfriend's boyfriend.
Yeah, the guy that they both, cheated on.
Yeah, they both, like, leave in the end of the movie. They both leave and open up a recycled candle store.
Yeah.
TJ Miller's so funny in that.
I love it. He's
oh, I'm sorry, man.
It's a good pick, though. It's a good pick for this list. I also came across that and realized that it would make sense for the list.
Yeah, streaming on Netflix. Strongly recommend if you want like a good comedy.
So
it has some heart to it.
My number one. I don't know if you've seen this, but I think it's the whole thing you can watch on YouTube. Actually, it's not on Netflix, but it's from 1995, and it's called Dead Blood Presidents. Diner.
Dead Presidents?
Yeah,
I've seen it.
I love this movie. Yeah. It's a really good movie. It's really dark, powerful. So the story is...
uplifting, motivating.
It's about the main guy. It stars... It's like an all-black cast. It stars Lorenz Tate, Keith David, Chris Tucker. It's Brooklyn, I think. Brooklyn, New York, or the Bronx. Ooh. It's somewhere in New York. Some ghetto part of New York in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
These... two friends in high school, Chris Tucker and Lorenz Tate, are shipped off to Vietnam. They kind of have no direction in life, don't know what they're doing. They go see some hard... They are right on the front lines in Vietnam, see some really fucked up shit. And, you know, they come home and everyone kind of knows the story of for soldiers coming home from Vietnam. It was not a good thing to come home to.
Yeah.
People here were protesting the war. And to be a black guy coming home from Vietnam was even worse because you're coming home to a country that didn't give a fuck about you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the themes that this movie takes a look at. The idea of coming home to just... You are so excited to come home and you find out it sucks. And they really... Just because I think, you know, when they were in the military and you're in Vietnam, you befriend... Skin color didn't really matter.
No, you're going through such a traumatic experience.
Yeah, those guys are all... In the movie, at least, their unit, those guys are all their brothers, white or black, didn't matter. And then they come home and they see that that's not what it's like. And it was... Yeah. It's a really good movie. What ends up happening is Lorenz Tate's character... is just trying to survive. He comes home, finds out the girl he was banging before he left has a kid, so he tries to do the right thing and take care of her and him.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to find a job. There's Keith David kind of plays the small-time mobster dude that runs the neighborhood, so he's got to deal with him. And Lorenz Tate cooks up... Chris Tucker, he came home before him, I think, and Lorenz Tate comes home to see that he's just hardcore addicted to drugs and can't even really speak for himself anymore. It's a fucked up movie, but it's really good. And they end up hatching a plan to steal... It's called Dead Presidents because they end up hatching a plan to steal money that the government is... I guess they were old bills and the government replaces them with new bills, so they ship off this other money to get like burned.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the idea of the movie. They're trying to steal that old money before it gets destroyed. And the word fuck is used 247 times.
Is that less than The Big Lebowski?
Are you looking up the song Dead Presidents by Jay-Z?
No.
Oh.
I love that song, though.
I already have it queued
up. You know who produced that?
Kanye?
Nope.
Who?
Other one of my favorite producers.
Nas?
Ski Beats. Nas is not a producer.
He might be.
Ski Beats.
Nice.
But that is a line from a Nas song, I'm out for presidents to represent me. From Nas's groundbreaking Illmatic LP.
It's directed by the Hughes Brothers. I think are pretty famous black
Coen director. Brothers.
Yeah, but check it out. It's on YouTube. If you're the whole one, it, you know, not an uplifting movie by any means. So don't watch it around the holidays. But it's powerful.
It's a good movie. It's a really good.
I really like Lorenz Tate. He was in the movie Ray. He's been in a lot of stuff. He was in Barbershop. He's
like
funny
Barbershop.
In that. He's the guy who stole
countdown
you know who he's the guy who stole the ATM in Barbershop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should do a countdown of movies that take place in Chicago.
That's a good one. Fugitive.
I don't care.
I don't care.
I didn't kill my wife.
I don't want your life. Varsity Blues.
Not Chicago.
Yeah, it could be. Texas.
Chicago, Texas. Paris, Texas.
You
want to
plug us up?
Yeah, let's plug it up. Thanks for listening, guys.
It's an ad. Oh, no, it's not. It's just a healthy intro.
A healthy intro.
Go ahead.
All right. So we are Matt and Andrew versus Society. As Matt said, we do a podcast every Tuesday. This is a little bonus that we do every month. And Mavs, MAVS Podcast. That is our Twitter handle. If you go on Facebook.com/MAVS Podcast again, go like us. We'd like that. Our website, thesaucelounge.com, is where you can find and stream every single episode. If you want to not only stream but download, head over to iTunes, subscribe to Matt and Andrew vs. Society, rate, comment, appreciate, play or hate, whatever you have to do. And we're also on Stitcher Radio, which apparently is still a thing. It's a great tune.
Just listen.
Yeah. I'm out for presidents to represent me.
Bye, guys. Make sure to listen.
Bye.
See you on our Christmas episode on Tuesday. You know this nigga, Jay-Z, Sean Carter, G.S. the fuck up, G.S. the fuck up. Watch me shine like a bright, let me get the fuck up. All rhymers, forget it, like Alzheimer's, small timers, I said it. I'm addressing all drama, talk to me.
Amazing podcast. Nice work, you guys.
Oops, our bad.
Oh, hey, what's up?
We're back. Yep. We forgot to do our honorable mentions just so, you know, we don't get tons of emails. People,
yeah,
like, hating on us because, oh, you forgot this movie. That never happens.
Well,
it has.
It has happened.
We don't want people to be hating because we left some off, but we also want to make sure that you know we know.
Yeah. Go ahead. I mentioned Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yeah.
That was a purposeful omission. John Candy classic.
Wasn't a purposeful omission by me, though.
Okay. Another purposeful omission, Home Alone.
What? Oh, the mom?
The entire subplot of the movie.
Oh, that's a stretch. Yes. Stretch.
Not at all. Not a stretch.
But Kevin is just the main character without it, even without a doubt in question. Like, it's
that's
him.
The main plot. Yes.
I know, but this, okay. All right.
But the whole subplot is her if trying to get home
it on
to
the
her
list,
son.
We'd have problems.
If I what?
If you put it on the list, we'd have problems.
No, we wouldn't. You want a stretch? Martin Lawrence, Blue Streak.
Wow, we have like none of the same honorable mentions.
He goes away to jail and comes back to reclaim a diamond he hid.
Choice.
Also stars Luke Wilson.
Wow,
love that movie.
I kind of like that. I like that movie too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it hasn't aged well, but the last time I saw it, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Another one. This one's a stretch. Grandma's Boy.
Wow.
He doesn't really go home, but he ends up moving in with his grandma.
Yeah, he stays in the same city, so
yeah.
Dumb pick.
Lastly, Toy Story.
Okay, they have to get home.
Yeah, fits the criteria.
Okay, is that it?
Yep.
How about this one, MacGruber? He comes. He's back.
Yes, he does.
He comes back. We need you.
Not
Mac.
Everything,
you,
Colonel.
Rain Man. It's
Rain
kind
Man's
of a
like,
weird because he does go back home, but then he immediately takes back off. The Graduate.
Oh, that was, yes. The Graduate. I didn't write it down. That's one that I thought
the
of.
The Blues Brothers. One brother gets
Jake
out of jail.
And Elwood.
They have to put the band back together. The movie Antoine Fisher. It's kind of about him finding his home more than anything, but he does ultimately go back home.
Yeah.
In a weird way. Very good movie. I wrote down Halloween. Oh. American History X.
Yeah, that's a good
one. He gets
one.
Out of jail. That's fits well. I could have easily put that on my list. I just chose
I was trying to think the only thing that I was trying to think of, like, oh, where do people come home from? And, like, jail was a big one in my mind. And the only thing that was coming to me was Our Idiot Brother.
Yeah. Well, how about this one? I'm pretty sure you haven't seen. It's very independent and didn't receive much, but I liked it a lot. It was called Martha, Marcy, May, Marlene.
Yeah, with Elizabeth Olsen.
Yeah, have you seen it?
No.
It's about a girl who had spent like years in a cult and then finally escapes and comes home, and her dealing with like kind of PTSD from being there.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's interesting. Movie First Blood, Sly Stallone back.
First
he's
Blood.
Not in his hometown, but he's back in from war in the United States.
Yeah.
Silver Linings Playbook.
Oh, that's a good one. That should.
How about
been on
this? The original, possibly the original Coming Home movie, Going Home, Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
The Crow.
The bro. The Crow's legacy is all about Brandon Lee. Yeah, dying. No, it's not a very good movie.
My sister loves that movie. I don't think it's that good.
Not a very good movie. Soundtrack's fantastic.
Finally, I wrote down R.D.